It's Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. And we welcome to the program Representative Nate Walker. He represents Kirksville and represents them in Jefferson City. Representative Walker, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, David. How are you?
I'm doing well. A couple of things we want to talk about in our time together this morning, and one of them is, first of all, congratulations. You're one of two people recognized by the Mizzou Alumni Association for the 2017 Henry S. Geyer Award, and that is a nice award of recognition for what you do for, it's from their legislative network community presenting the award to one state elected official who exemplifies dedication and spirit of Henry S. Geyer. So congratulations on that. Would you talk about your reaction to that award and then also to your connection to MU?
Okay. Well, thanks, David. I went to the University of Missouri after graduating from Aiken High School. I have a degree in agricultural journalism, a bachelor's degree in agricultural journalism. And then I went on and got a master's degree in regional community affairs, or what's called community development. Been a supporter of the University of Missouri as a kid. My grandparents and my parents would take me to sporting events and different events. My dad and my grandfather, and I have cousins and uncles that graduate from the University of Missouri. So it's been kind of a family tradition to attend the university. And I've attended the Geyer Award ceremonies for several years and know a lot of the recipients. And last fall, I was contacted and asked if I would like to be nominated for the award. And I was, I said, yes, of course. I don't know if I'm deserving of it. But anyway, I was nominated and received positive part from the committee to be the recipient. And so last week at the Mill Bottom in Jefferson City, we were awarded this prestigious Geyer Award.
Nate Walker is our guest. You represent District Number 3 in the State House in Jefferson City. That's Kirksville, and I'm reading here, western part of Adair County, all of Sullivan, Putnam, and Mercer counties. Those are areas that I'm familiar with. I like north central Missouri a lot, and I think that's some great land up there. As far as the people, when you would talk to them maybe about the impact of the University of Missouri on your life or on the state of a whole, how receptive are they to thinking positive thoughts about MU?
I think most people have very positive thoughts. You know, the University of Missouri had a little bit of negative publicity with some of the things that went on a couple of years ago. But we have a new president of the university, a new chancellor. Both of those men have hit the ground running. And you know, President Lin Choi has been to Northeast Missouri several times. Chancellor Cartwright has also been to North Missouri. They, I think, are beginning to really have their feet on the ground and understand how important the University of Missouri, the land-grant university, is to all of the citizens of the state. And so they're going out, not only staying, you know, at the university to do those kind of things, but they're going out and reaching out to alumni and leaders in different communities. And I think that's very important. And both of those people were down to the to share the award with me the other night. But the University of Missouri is really important to outstate. My degree is in agricultural journalism, and then also one in master's for community affairs, but lots and lots of people have enhanced their own lives by attending the University of Missouri and getting a very quality education.
Do you know many from your particular district who do send their children down to the University of Missouri? Or maybe, I mean, we could talk about the whole system, but we're talking in particular about Columbia campus.
Yes. Oh, of course. Jim and Lana Novinger, who are large farmers and very good people. I go to church with them at the First Christian Church in Kirksville. Both of their children are there. Another member of our church, Zach Meyer, attends the University of Missouri. But there's a good group. We have a strong alumni association in Adair County, also down in Macon County, Shelby County, throughout the whole north central, northeast Missouri area. Lots and lots of young people go to the University of Missouri. And, you know, it's a great school. My nephew, Zach Walker, he has a degree from the School of Engineering, College of Engineering, and it's a place. We have Truman State University here in Kirksville, which is a wonderful liberal arts university, and a lot of students stay here. But the University of Missouri draws a lot of students from all over Northeast Missouri and all over North Central Missouri.
If you're going to say to those who are in like Adair County or Sullivan or Shelby or Macon or Putnam or Mercer, if you're going to say to them, this is what the University of Missouri system brings to the state, and this is why it is valuable for us to support, what would be the basic content of the message?
Well, the University of Missouri provides us with an identity, but it also provides us with the source of getting a good quality education from the back, from bachelor's level to a master's level to a doctorate level, and it addresses some of the very basic needs. And so I think it's important that all states have a strong higher education system. I'm a member of the higher education committee in the House, but I think it's just real important that we go out and make sure that the University of Missouri is well-funded and strong. That has the tradition of the strong research, and our School of Agriculture, the School of Journalism, all the other schools are nationally recognized, and several of their graduates are leaders throughout our state and in our communities. And so the University of Missouri plays a vital role and is very important for the overall success and positive things that the state of Missouri has to offer.
You know, you're talking to those in this area, in central Missouri, and especially where Boone County and Columbia, which very much appreciates the University of Missouri and its impact on our community and our county. What challenges, though, would you say the university is going to face in funding again this year, if any?
Well, the rumor or fact is that state budget revenues are not as high as we need probably to fund everything the way we want to. There has been talk that the University of Missouri in higher education may take a 10 or 15% budget cut. That's unfortunate, and I will work with the budget committee and members of the General Assembly to make sure that whatever cuts, or if there are cuts, that they are minimized. But we need to make sure that we have affordable higher education available to the students of our state. The University of Missouri works well with the Mobile Area Community College and the other community colleges around the state to take in students that have gone a year or two at the community college level, and that they can continue to keep their credit hours. But the University of Missouri, we need to make it a priority. Higher education, K through 12, in my opinion, should be the top priorities in the state when we talk about funding. And so I'll be working with the other leaders. You have a good senator there, Senator Rowden, who is now on the Senate Budget Committee, and you've got a good group of bipartisan legislators there in the Boone County area that work hard for the university. And so I'll work with them, and hopefully we'll be able to find the funding and the resources that will keep the University of Missouri strong and give them the opportunity to serve the state of Missouri.
Again, Nate Walker is our guest. He is a state representative out of Missouri's District 3, which would be North Central Missouri. We are told that the governor will release information about what, more details at least, about his budget perhaps later on today. Do you as a state representative get a sneak information about what will be in there, especially on the topic we're talking about with higher ed?
Well, we've in the past, governors have been a little more open about their delivery of the budget. In the past, we've been able to get a copy of the summary and also the budget items. I've seen a few things, but nothing will be known for sure till at 4 o'clock today at the state capitol in the governor's office. Those numbers and those things will be released. Even the House budget chair and the Senate appropriations chair of I think just waiting to see what those figures will be, and then we'll have to start reacting to that. And, you know, the House and the Senate work together to formulate a budget. They start off with some of the things that the governor has recommended, but generally everything changes, and so sometimes priorities and amounts change within the budget. So we'll see, but I think there's a strong support for making sure that the University of Missouri and other higher education receive the appropriate funding. So we'll see how it all plays out.
How do you think that what has happened within the last couple of weeks in the news about the governor, and I want to talk more about that a little bit later on, but right now I'm still asking from an insider's point of view, how does that impact how the Senate and the House of Representatives feel like working now on important matters like the budget? How do you overcome the news grabbing headlines and say, we've got important work to do. Let's put away this or have this take its course on this branch, and we're going to continue to do things on the other way?
Well, we have a system in the state of Missouri and on the federal level where we have judiciary, the legislative, and executive branch, and they're all supposed to be working together, and they have their certain responsibilities that each have. In the House, we have strong leadership. Our Speaker, Todd Richardson, does a wonderful job of making sure that we stay on task. Whenever there's any kind of disruptions, we get past them very quickly. And if a legislator needs to resign, they resign and we move on. And so during this last 3 weeks that we've been in session for the second regular session, the first week was kind of dedicated to prayer breakfasts and getting organized with your committee. Last week, or the week before, we had the governor's state of the state, and then we had this big disruption concerning his personal life. And then this week, or last week, we just kept working in the House. We passed three bills, got them out in regard to some of our priorities. We took on burdensome regulations. We had ethics reform and human trafficking legislation. We perfected those bills in a bipartisan way, and then we third read them, and they're on their way to the Senate. In the House and in the Senate, I think we will work as hard as we possibly can. These are distractions. The governor had made a big announcement a couple weeks ago that he was going to come to North Missouri, and he was going to talk about tax reform and a whole lot of other things, and rolled out a big announcement with that. And then all of a sudden, on a little internet device, they canceled those. So that's a disruption, because in North Missouri, when we have an official come up to visit us, whether it's a Democrat or Republican, we roll out the red carpet. We welcome them up there, and then we want to work with them and find out what they're talking about. So he canceled his trip last week, and on Friday, he was supposed to be in Canton and in Macon, our hometown. And, you know, that's a big disruption. And for about 10 days, he kind of dropped out of the press. As most people know, this governor's one that has never found an unfriendly camera in most cases. But it is a disruption, particularly from the executive branch. We'll overcome it. We have a lot of solid leaders in the Missouri General Assembly, which the governor has not been able to really work with very well. He's called everyone in the legislature corrupt, third graders, and those kind of things. I've had conversations with the governor in the past, tried to talk to him about using those tactics, because each and every one of the members of the Missouri General Assembly have been elected, and they represent different districts. And so sometimes I don't agree with all my colleagues on issues, but it's not necessarily because they're wrong or I'm right, but it's because we represent different parts of the state that have different particular interests. Hmm. And for North Missouri, agriculture is important, education is important, and so I support those kind of issues. And we want, you know, good government, government that will serve the needs of the people, and we don't need higher taxes and over-regulated things to hamper business growth and jobs, but the economy is important. But this governor, I think, and I asked and I called for his resignation last week, because it's a disruption to getting things done. And we'll see where it all plays out. But things seem to be getting worse for him than better.
He said in an interview, I think, with the Associated Press just in the last day or two, that he would stay and would not step down, and that there was nothing there that he needs to be investigated about. He has admitted that he made a poor personal decision and is very sorry for that. You talk about how this is going to it's still a problem. What do you see as far as any movement from your party? And Nate Walker is our guest, and he does serve as a Republican state representative from District 3, serving basically Kirksville and the counties around there. What do you see going forward on that issue? Will that be enough for him to say, look, I really am sorry about what I did? on that private matter. You know everything you need to know. How does he go from a governor who, as you kind of hinted at a little while ago, didn't like or act like he needed any help from state representatives and senators, even in his own party, to now seeming to be very much wanting to say, I want to work with you. I need you. Please help me.
Very well said. The situation is very tragic. This incident with his personal life and everything else, I think that's just a small part of what's going on. You know, we've learned now that the FBI is investigating things, and we know that there's an investigation by the city of San Luis prosecutor, a former member of the legislature. I've been around and I've watched these scandals unfold, and oftentimes the original thing that comes out in something isn't really what the final thing is. But I would say if I was this governor, I would focus on trying to get my family matters in place. Maybe he has those in place. But I would also focus on making sure that I was more transparent, and I would work with these investigators from the FBI and other law enforcement and come clean. And there are a lot of people are really concerned and upset about the secrecy and the dark money, you know, he has a non-for-profit political organization, and in his own political organization, just maybe a block and a half from the Capitol and a block and a half from the mansion. And, you know, he spends a lot of time over there. That's pretty much documented by news sources. But this governor is, he's going to learn that he's got some problems that may be bigger than he is. And Missouri General Assembly, we will continue to do what we're supposed to do. And we'll watch this situation, and if there's a need for other things that we need to address, and the word impeachment has been brought up, I don't know if that's where we need to be. I think the governor just needs to resign, and we have a Lieutenant Governor Mike Parsons that would step in there. But we'll see where it all plays out. I was not the only one that's called for his resignation. There's been members of both Democrats and Republicans, members of the House and members of the Senate, who have called for his resignation. And I think he needs to seriously consider it for the betterment of the state in particular, but also for the betterment of himself and for his family.
Interesting that you should bring up that there are other issues that might draw concern. I know that CBS Morning News this morning showed a picture of or did a story with a reporter outside the state capitol in Jefferson City and talked about what Senator Rob Schaff has said about how he, at least has had a conversation. He didn't think that it was really like part of an investigation from what I understand, but he had posted information on his Facebook page and also talked about talking to the FBI about undisclosed money that went to the governor and seemed to be for a beneficial of Express Scripts in a no-bid state contract. Those are the kinds of things, you know as well as I do, that we react as citizens to the salacious story of an affair, but you as a elected representative, you say we need to make sure that the process is one that the citizenry can have confidence and trust in. And if there are no bid state contracts or $500,000 gift for a campaign that then comes right after or right before legislation that would seem to benefit the gift giver or the donator, that is important in the integrity of our overall system, it seems to me.
That's right. And, you know, this governor's been very critical of the legislature. You know, we're working on ethics legislation. When I got elected to the 3rd District 5 years ago, I chose that if I received gifts or meals or things from lobbyists, I would just go ahead and reimburse them or pay for them myself. That's, you know, a self-governing of my own self. And I'm not judging other legislators by any means if they take a meal or something, because I don't think a meal or a $50 ticket to a ball game or something like that will sway many people. If they do, then they need to leave public service. But what's critical is when you have millions of dollars and hundreds of thousands of dollars that come into political campaigns or go into organizations that are not transparent, and you don't know where this money comes from. So I think that's a big issue. The governor's credibility has slipped over the time since he took the inaugural oath. And the last year, he has slipped in popularity. And he's really been a very ineffective governor when you consider that in the House we have a majority party, and in the Senate we have a majority party that have been trying to work with him. But he seems to want to claim all the credit on the good things and really hammer people that are working hard that disagree with him. Hmm.
Interesting situation, is it not? I don't think it's one. I think there were some signs of this maybe with the kind of go-it-alone attitude of the governor prior to his election. And since then, I don't think that anything has happened until the news of the affair that would have shown that he was going to be humbled to the point of realizing how he does need to work with the rest of the elected officials.
I agree. The governor did call me last week right after all this bad news concerning his family life and took place, and he wanted to blame other people for that. And I said, look, Governor, let's slow down. Let's stop that. You're accountable for those actions. I'm not judging you for them. I forgive you for whatever you've done there, but you've got to claim responsibility for your shortcomings. And then the sad part is for you, you have not enhanced or made friends with many people in the legislature. And you have to work in a bipartisan way. And there's always something that we can mutually agree upon in most cases. And a lot of the issues are not partisan. There are issues that need to be addressed. You can have different ways to do it. But you got to work with people that put in long hours. I mean, we go back to the Capitol each week, and most legislators will put in 14, 16, 18 hours. And we do it as public servants in most cases and not anything to serve ourselves. And so I told him, I said, you need to make sure that you are not being honored by the title, but you need to honor the title of governor. And your behavior and the way that you've led the last year has not been, in my opinion, in your best interest and in the best interest in the state of Missouri.
I would just say that I think a lot of people would say, hear, hear. That's a wonderful message to know that you gave to the governor. My question is, how did he respond to that?
Well, I think he was still in shock from the whole thing, because I think he thought he was going to slide through and this is not going to be revealed. We knew the day of the event that something major was going to come. And I also told him, I said, you know, Governor, you should have probably addressed this when you had the House and the Senate assembled in the State of the Union. But he was calling out, looking for friends. And I think all of us are compassionate. We want what's best for the state of Missouri, and certainly we want what's best for the Greitens family. And in my opinion, having watched scandals like this take place over a course of years on the state and national level, that sometimes you need to look at things in a different light, and sometimes stepping down is the best way to get your own life right and also to better serve the interest that you thought you were serving.
I want to just hit you with two more quick things. One is of an official thing that I want your reaction to, and then one is more of a personal thing. First of all, what do you want to see in regard, and this is not connected directly to the governor, because I think there are others in the legislature that are talking about tax reform for the state. What would you like to see, if you could summarize it briefly, as a major tax reform for the state going forward?
Well, I don't know. I think, we want to make sure that we have a fair tax system. We see a new tax system or tax reform coming out of the federal government. Lots of people, even the people that wrote the legislation, are not even sure what it's going to do. I think we need to be cautious moving forward with any tax cuts or tax reform to make sure that they're actually something that will benefit the state. We are just going into a tax bill tax policy just went into effect this year, where we voted some tax cuts about 3 years ago. But I think we have to be very cautious. We've seen what happened over in Kansas, and over in Kansas, it was not a very good experiment, and they really kind of got their budget out of whack, and their priorities were hurt. And after about 4 or 5 years, battling the General Assembly over there and with their Governor Brownfield, they've they've come back and they've repealed a lot of the things they do. So we have to make sure that we do the right things. We have very competent and smart members in the General Assembly, and we'll be working with them. The governor's going to tell us what he wanted, but he's never really laid it out.
I appreciate your time today. Here's the personal thing. You make me happy to claim North Central Missouri as my home area. You and I went to the same high school. You were a few years older. I've told the story that one time during a candy sale for the student council, I was among the guys that you kind of activated to hit a neighborhood to raise the most money for your group that was raising money. You probably don't remember that, but I do remember doing that. We have gone our separate ways. This is the first time I have had any contact with you in 40 plus years. Continued success for you. Speak the common sense that I think you and I would say is a strong component of our home area.
Yeah, and, David, you lived under the big Macon water tower. Your house, your parents' house, was right next to the big water tower. It has the Macon Tiger on it, and, as you've done fields. But go back to the sale of the student council candy. That was a big fundraiser for us. And, the world, revolves, and the world kind of is a big circle. And so this weekend I had to go out and do a few shopping things, and so I went to Walmart, and there were some kids there selling candy to benefit their school. And so I bought a couple bars, and then I gave them a little extra donation.
Well, good
but,
for you.
That's the way it is.
Good to talk to you. Thank you very much. Continued success, and best of luck through this legislative session. It's a challenging one.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Nate Walker has been our guest, state representative for the 3rd District, spending a generous amount of time with us today on KFRU.